Hare Krishna, is anybody still there?
Hare Krishna,
my God, everybody, I'm late, huh? I'm pretty late, right? Okay.
Yes, Maharaj, it's about 8:30.
Oh, who's that?
This is Chris. Hariball.
Okay. I really, it's amazing. I just don't know where that half hour went. I was waiting to make the call. It's at 6:40 here. So it was 10 more minutes to the class, and then I began to chant prayers. And then I thought, okay, it's time. I turned on, and I saw Ruti sent me a message. So really sorry about that, but I'm amazed that people just kind of stayed on and kind of waited. So sorry. Om Gyana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Taksur Malitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I should mention one thing before I begin. I'll be flying next week, so the classes will begin. Classes will begin a week from Wednesday. Okay. Vanshakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasude Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ramo Hare Ramo Rama Rama Hare Hare. So greetings from Vrindavan. I'm still in a state of shock because I was waiting 10 minutes for the class, and then I began to chant prayers, and then I don't know what happened. Anyway, I'll just begin. I think what I'm going to do in this class, and I think it could be really nice, is I'm studying Chaitanya Charitamrita every day, and I could give a summary of the whole thing. And the Chaitanya Charitamrita is probably the most important books in our tradition. Prabhupada, when he wanted to give a standard of degrees, he said Bhagavad Gita would be BA, and first six cantos of the Bhagavatam would be like a master's. Last six cantos would be like a PhD, and Chaitanya Charitamrita would be a post study. And it is, because to actually master that, you have to know, it's described in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, that one's an acharya. He must establish the conclusions of Shastra as he understands it in his tradition, in opposition to all other viewpoints. So, to really be able to teach the CC, you have to know the six darshans. Yoga, Mamamsa, Nyaya, Sankha, Sankhya, Vedanta, Visheshika. You have to know Buddhistic thought. You have to know the four sampradayas. So, I'm looking forward this year to going through a study of that, and then give a summary. Right now, I'm here in Vrindavan. It's just, I have to say, this has really been my sweetest time here. And I'm losing my voice, so. And feeling great separation already from leaving. The main thing about Vrindavan is the Sadhu Sangha, association with advanced devotees. And see their level of devotion, that they're single-minded. There's no other narrative going into their mind. It's just they're focused on service and service and service and service. It's like in yoga, it's described that the mind, it's described that the mind is like a film. The mind is constantly taking pictures. So what the mind is just frames that keep on moving at a millisecond or less. Excuse me, I got to get this frog out of my throat. So what a Vaishnava is a devotee, is that it's just service. There's nothing else in the mind. You're not doing service and thinking of something else. You just flow. And to be with people of that caliber and meet people of that caliber, young, old, men, women, it's very, very inspiring. I just spent 2 days in Govardhan with Burijan Prabhu. And we spent two nights with Parthasarthi Goswami. We spent a day with Shyamdas, and we went out and met some of his friends. There was one lady, just a simple lady. She came to Braj when she was 14 years old. And she does the seva of all the garlands in Japipur. Around Govardhan Hill, there's small towns. Radhakund is the Gaudiyas. Japipur is the Vallabhas. And then there's Aniyar and Govindakund. The town of Govardhan. So we met one lady in Japipur, maybe 10 hours a day she's making garlands. There's Govardhan Parikram every day. Collects the flowers and feeds sadhus around Parikram. And, you know, stays up throughout the night chanting and things like that. There are people like this. It's very, very single-minded. So she was telling us how she was feeding the sadhus, and that 10 sadhus come every day. And Borjan asked her, what if 50 came? She says, it's all Krishna's mercy. I'm not doing. And actually has that realization that Krishna is doing. And it's just such a simple, sweet thought. Not two-minded, but his service, one does. So it's been very edifying. Now, I'm teaching the Chaitanya Charitamrita here, and what Chaitanya is traveling to bring up. The Vrindavan from Puri, and we follow his trail up north through the Jharkhanda forest. And then after that, if you go to Vrindavan, the sadhus walk along the bank of the Ganga, at least for some while. And the first city that they come to is Varanasi, And once you time you take bath in the Ganga, there's beautiful ghats in Varanasi. And when you take a bath in the Ganga, then there's two disciples of him that are also taking bath, and they see him, and they're ecstatic. And they just grab his feet. Lord Chaitanya picks them up and embraces them, which is a beautiful concept of Vaishnava philosophy. I mention it many times, and I can repeat the mantra and the purport in the Bhagavad Gita where Prabhupada describes Samaham Sarva Bhuteshu. He says God doesn't have the defect of impersonality. And it's such a nice concept of reciprocal dealings. I spoke before this, and someone posted it on Raj Kishore has a Facebook page about my teachings. And that if God is the supreme enjoyer and God is enjoying love, then he must love. Because you enjoy love from whom those from those whom you love. And love means to take an other person's desire as your own. And when you subjugate yourself to someone else's desire, whether it's by force or whether by your own affection, and that's what love is, then you're controlled by that other person. So God necessarily, in his glory, is controlled by the love of his devotees. So we see that type of reciprocation. Of course, they invite him to take prasad at their house. How wonderful is that type of culture there? And that's another thing of Vrindavan. I'm going to, one person's been inviting me for about 3 years, one Shapwala, but he's a Brahmin and a very pious man. And many years he's been inviting me. He has a very, very big temple in Vrindavan, but it's in Lowy Bazaar, but it's, you know, you have to go through a pathway, so it's not a public temple. And it's a very, very big place. But for many years, because the family were just Brahmins, for many, many years, they were quite poor because they had this big temple, but that type of occupation wasn't there anymore, you know, whatever, Dominical. The man opened the shop. Anyway, he's in line from Krishnadas Kaviraj. He has Krishnadas Kaviraj's original Majjhalila. It's very nice, simple, because that's the bhakti tradition. It's about your heart. Bhakti is about your heart. If the heart is not soft, how can you pray? If the heart is not soft, how can you chant? So it's all about the heart. The heart is cultivated by the service of others. And then there's six loving exchanges, including inquiring from others and inquiring from others in confidence and explaining in confidence, taking prasadam, giving prasadam, giving gifts, accepting gifts. There's a culture. That's why it's so nice to live in a Vaishnava community. It's a culture of the just like my next door neighbor is Indradumna Swami. So I had a question. I had some questions about my future service and what direction I can go. So, you know, I went over and asked him and took some of his counsel and heard what he had to say. You know, but I can see it just nourishes relationships. And ultimately, we're part of God and we have a relationship with God. And, you know, you have to have a real necessity in the heart, a realization that we need this relationship. And time helps that because everything else is destroyed except our service to God. Because everything else is temporary. And if it's temporary, it means it's not inherently ours. Something that's temporary, it means that can be taken away. It means it's not ours. It's given to us. It's taken away from us, whatever we have. And time makes us realize that. And hopefully in time, we become humble, which means we become dependent on God's mercy. We become dependent on God's mercy. And that's a great joy in the heart. To be humble is a great pleasure because it allows you to experience love and devotion. And it fills the heart with happiness. So a real Vaishnava is happy because his heart is filled with devotion and love. And in that mood, one could chant always because it's love. It comes from humility. There's no experience of love in a person's heart who is filled with pride. So in love, he chants the holy name. In humility, he chants the holy name. In feeling, he chants the holy name. And therefore, he can do it always. Anyway, Tapana Mishra's son is named Raghunath, and he's to become one of the six Goswamis. And the little boy is massaging Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feet. And he's blessed because impressions are made in the consciousness. Maybe one will never forget that. I'm seeing Janav is here now in India, 5-6 months. She really seems really blissful. And her family's probably moving to Mayapur. Put their child in that wonderful school they have there for girls. And I was seeing her daughter, she comes to my class, she's 9 or 10. You know, that environment, enriched spiritually, living, it's such an impression in the consciousness. It's such an impression in the consciousness. Good impressions. You develop attachments for those things that will elevate and expand the mind. So, and then as word that Lord Chaitanya is there in Varanasi, one of his other disciples finds out, named Chandrasekhar. Chandrasekhar is a royal physician. And he's a royal physician, and he has taken a job as a clerk. And he's in Varanasi, and he's really distressed in one sense because Varanasi is the seat of Nirvishesha. It's impersonal philosophy. So impersonal philosophy doesn't have an appreciation for God. They think that the form of God is Maya or illusion. And therefore, they don't very much talk about it. If they do talk about it, they talk about it in the wrong way. And Chandrasekhar, he tells Lord Chaitanya, this is due to my sinful life. So humility is everything. So a devotee is in that mood. That lady that we met, and just this simple lady, you know, living in this small house, and really simple, she started to talk to us and told this story about these saints that were, not saints, these bhaktis that were determined to see God. They began to meditate. And after a year or two, they didn't achieve anything. And then they heard a voice from God. And God said, you will attain me after many, many years, as many years as there are leaves on this tree. So one of the sadhus walked away. But the other sadhu was joyous. I will attain you, I'll attain you. The lady was explaining this, and she was saying, it's very nice. She said, because he was humble, he thought, I don't deserve. He thought he was getting mercy. And she said, you cannot attain God, but by that grace, in a second will attain it. For the humble soul, in a second, he can attain God's mercy. That distance can be shrunken to the size of the water in the hoof print of a calf. So he was thinking in that way. Chandrasekhar, he was feeling. What is that verse by Chandas Thakur? Samsare majiya rohili pariya se pade nahilo asa. Samsare majiya rohili se pade. I have no hope of attaining your feet. Why? Apanakam karama bujanesam. Because of my past sinful activities, I have no taste for practicing spiritual life. I have no taste for practicing spiritual life. So but he had one solace, and what is that solace? That solace is that Tapana Mishra would come and give him Krishna Katha. And that's so essential. That's how bhakti comes in the heart. You have to hear about the glories of Krishna, and you have to hear about those who have love for him. And their exchange. And when there's an appreciation for that, what you appreciate then comes to your heart. I think this is very important for Sri Chaitanya's mission, for Prabhupada's mission, that people are trained up to give engaging katha about Krishna, to nourish the spiritual life of the devotees. So important. So he was hearing Krishna Katha. And then one Brahmin hears about Lord Chaitanya, and the Brahmin comes to meet Lord Chaitanya. And just by looking at him and seeing his effulgence, he's overwhelmed. It's amazing. I'm seeing, you know, the effulgence of the devotees who have practiced Krishna consciousness for so many years. Sometimes you can't believe their age. There's one man, he's a neighbor of mine. He's 97 years old. I'm watching him walk through the temple every day. Anyway, in terms of one whose heart's filled with devotion, then his body becomes effulgent. Just what makes someone effulgent? It's happiness. Lord Chaitanya is beaming in ecstasy, plus his body has all the classical signs mentioned in Shastra of a Mahabhagavat. There are even physical symptoms, and the Brahmin is watching Lord Chaitanya cry in ecstasy. Of course, those things can be imitated, but these were legitimate expressions. See, anything can be born of the ego, and then it becomes useless, just like renunciation. One may renounce the world or be renounced, vairagya, give up attachment, but only because that gives him adulation and praise. I was reading a book called The Ladder of Divine Ascent by John Climacus, something like that. And he was describing that there were monks that were living in the institution that were renounced. So they sent this monk who was very renounced, that, okay, you're so renounced, you go to the desert and you can be alone and practice spiritual life because you seem to have nothing, no desire for the world. And then he blew. You know, this is thousands of years ago, the guy's describing. He blew. Why? He described because he was living on the manure of false praise. So when he left the institution, what was actually feeding his renunciation, which was his ego, was not there. So spiritual life... So it's not just that one has tears, one can have symptoms of ecstasy. And you see that all the time in Vrindavan, because it's just, I mean, the temple here is just, I go every evening, from 5:30 to 6:30 for the kirtan. I sit in the kirtan every day from 9 to 10. Great kirtan here. Namras is there, Amala Prana, Kinshina Krishna, this guy Keshava, which is heavenly. So many good kirtaners are there. But in the evening kirtan, the temple is filled mostly with North Indians. Packed, people coming. And so you see the kirtan, and it's so powerful. Everyone is sitting down in the kirtan. Inevitably, someone will get up and dance. And you can see the difference. Some person will get up and dance, some middle-aged Punjabi man or something, and you can see the motive behind him dancing is not ecstasy, but I am advanced. And you really, really have to look at your own spiritual life. You really, really have to look at your own spiritual life. And see what is the motive for the things that you do. You know, and what is the devotion? What will be left of our activities in life when the motive is not fruitive? To get something for myself. Anyway, the Brahmin saw Lord Chaitanya. Then he went to Prakasananda and described what he saw. And Prakasananda Saraswati laughed at him. He said, oh, he's babuka. He's just sentimental. And I know he's having many followers, but he's just hypnotizing them. So this Brahmin he was so impressed by Lord Chaitanya that he went back to Lord Chaitanya and told him. And then there's a nice description of what Lord Chaitanya says about Mayavad. Mayavad is a philosophy of envy. It's not just impersonalism. There's an overt envy manifesting criticism aggressively of God. There are impersonalists that don't have that samskara nature like before. And Lord Chaitanya's explaining it. Sukadeva Goswami was Atmarama. He had no attraction to the world. In fact, the story is that he stayed 14 years in the womb of his mother. And then when he got out, he completely left. He didn't want anything to do with the world. His samskaras for renunciation was so pronounced. And that's what a real yogi is. The highest yogi, or one of the highest stages of yoga, is where there's no more attachments in your consciousness. There's no more samskaras. There's only one samskara, to renounce the world. As an anti-material enjoyment samskara. So Sukadeva was like that. He wanted nothing to do with the world. But when he saw, but when his father, Vyasadeva, sent his disciples to look for him, and they were chanting verses, and he heard such beautiful verses as Tavakatam Ritam Tapta Jivanam Kavivya Indrasam Kalmasapaham Shravanamangala. Awesome. I forgot the rest. He heard these. He became attracted, which means he has no attraction to the world, but has an attraction for Krishna's pastimes. It means those pastimes are transcendental, Atmarama Sunyas. Anyway, when they brought it back to Lord Chaitanya, he said, I brought this heavy load of my emotional sentiments to distribute, but I do not see any buyers. But I don't want to carry them with me. Anand? Hare Krishna. I don't want to carry them with me. He said, I'll have to distribute for cheap price. And then Lord Chaitanya leaves and proceeds on and then goes to Prayag, which is the Triveni, and we'll hear more. No class this week. Again, deep apologies that I was late. I just don't. Maybe I fell asleep. I don't feel I did. I've been up very early since 2 in the morning, but I don't feel I did. I just was chanting prayers. I remember all the prayers I chanted. Anyway, would anybody like to say hello again?
Hello again. Hi, Krishna.
Hey, Gail, thank you. I don't know how you all waited. I appreciate it. I don't hope other people, you know, that wanted to hear it left. It's just, it'll be easier for me in the West because the times are linked up at the same time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it sometimes gets confusing for me here. Okay, I will see all of you, not all of you, but many of you in a week or so. Okay, thank you all. Vanshakalpa Guru Dishaka Sindhu Deva Champa.